would still us now to hear your word, to change us, so that we would go forth with the love that you have filled us with to love one another. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, sometimes good intentions just aren't good enough. I know we hear a lot of, you know, I'm hoping to do this or I want to do this, but yet we don't often follow through. And some things, that's okay. It's like it's the thought that counts, right? I thought about you and I care, but didn't quite get to it. Well, it's okay. But then there's other things where that just doesn't quite cut it, you know? One that's obvious to me, I can think about getting in better shape, but unless I do something, it's not going to change, you know? And that's kind of where we are in spiritual disciplines, right? We can have sermon after sermon after sermon. I can send home even Bible passages for you to read and you can think about it. But unless you start to employ them, unless you start to do them over and over and over again, good intentions aren't good enough, right? I was reading that it actually takes a little over 2 months, 66 days is what statistics have shown, to form a habit. So maybe over the last couple weeks you have tried to put some of these spiritual disciplines in, and maybe it worked good for the first week, but now you're kind of back into some old habits. Stick with it. You know, it's going to be hard. There's going to be some struggles, maybe even some going backwards, but then moving forwards. You know, because we do have a wonderful, loving God. If you were here on Wednesday, a jealous God that's burning with passion for you. Not jealous of you, but rather jealous for you. And he wants what any spouse would want and demand of their spouse. He demands priority, he demands faithfulness, fidelity, and he demands intimacy. And so with that, let us dive into God's word. Let us cry out to him. Let us walk in the fellowship that he has placed us in as his baptized children. Today we add another tool to our disciple toolbox. Today we look at loving one another. Loving our brothers and sisters. You know, John makes it pretty hard to begin with, right? You heard those words. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and does not share, how can the love of God be in them? Maybe I should pack up and be sitting out there and not sitting up here, because I don't always do that. I fall short in that, and I'm sure if you're honest, you would feel the same way as well. But before we all start to hang our heads low and think that we don't have the love of God in us, where is John coming from? Where does he start this section? It's in the cross, right? You want to know what love is. Pam shared this. You want to know what love is. Look to the cross. This is what love is. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus dies for us, that he lays his life down for us. That changes everything. That's our model. Don't always like putting Jesus up as a model in some of these things, because we fall short all the time. But yet John does it here. The cross is the model of love. But it doesn't stop there either. It's not just the model or the example, but rather it's the resource. It allows us to love. The love that flows from the cross flows in us, and then we become conduits of that love so that we can love others. We can go forth sharing. We can go forth and care, because the cross is our message. The cross is why we're here. The cross is everything. The cross shows us that our sins have been removed. The cross shows us that there is life after death. The cross shows us that we are one body in Christ, because he makes us one there at the cross. You know, but I wonder, if we sometimes think that the cross is almost too familiar. We've heard it before. I've heard that story. I know about the cross. Pastor, you try to throw in the cross almost in every sermon. I try that. I want to dive into something a little different. Let's go a little bit deeper. Teach me how to be a good parent. Teach me how to do this. Teach me how to be financially responsible in the gifts that God has given me. All of those are good, but let's not move away from the cross. The cross is the pinnacle of our teaching. The cross is everything. It is the gospel message. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the cross. The cross shows us that God has power. The cross shows us that Jesus loves you. So how do we love? So how do we now take this love? We put it in action. Love in action is true love. This is where good intentions aren't enough. This is where I can preach sermon after sermon after sermon, but if it doesn't change hearts, then what's good is it? We are called to now go forth, and we are called to now be in God's love and love one another. Not in just words, but in action and in truth. Compassion and selfishness can't exist together. They eat each other up. If you are selfish, then it kind of it trumps, it goes over the compassion, so your compassion becomes less and less as the more you become selfish, and the opposite is true as well. The more compassionate you are, the less selfish you are. And so we are called to now go out. If you see a brother or sister in need, help them. I know it sounds simple, but help them. Give them what they need. If God has blessed you with resources, and it's not just material resources, but time, and maybe even a listening ear, and encouraging words, whatever they are, if your brother or sister is lacking that, give it to them. Because we are to love one another. We are to care for them. We are to walk in the truth that comes from the cross. So again, what does that look like? I'm going to give you two things. One is organically. Organically, God is going to just kind of move us. You know, I would guess that if you kind of look at your sphere of friends, not many of them are missing meals. Not many of them don't have clothes or don't have shoes or something like that. But that doesn't mean that we're kind of off the hook. Because maybe God is going to move you in different ways to reach out. Maybe it's something as simple as the person. I saw a person sitting on the corner of Walmart in Mankato with the sign. And maybe you've just bought groceries. And maybe God's just going to tap you on the shoulder and move you to stop. And I know what my first inclination is. They'll just take the money. They'll just take the stuff and not use it the way I want to. Let God deal with that. We're called to love. We're called to share. We're called to go forth. And I'm sure you can think of opportunities that God has placed in your life. And maybe you've answered the call. Maybe you walked through the door. Maybe you haven't in other times. But just that organic. Maybe it's in the conversation with a coworker at work tomorrow. Or maybe it's in a classroom as classrooms start back up and you just hear of a story and it's like, man, I can help. And God is tapping you on the shoulder to love. He's filled you with the love of Christ from the cross and now you get to love. Now you get to go share that love. So that's one of the ways. And it's a wonderful feeling. I'm sure in some point you've helped out and you just know it's a great thing to do. And it's right because God blesses you and fills you with joy in those moments. And the other is organizationally. That we come together here as a body, and maybe you're not out there, you know, giving and doing all this stuff, but we come together here in our offerings. Just in case you don't know, the top 10% goes out. We don't touch it. It's kind of in our bylaws, I guess, that it goes out because we want to be a giving church. And then, of course, on top of that, within, you know, our different budgets, it happens. As you know, we had a group of youth that went down to or across to South Dakota, and one of the most impoverished zip codes of the whole United States, to this Native American reservation, and we helped as we poured in to the community. We couldn't have done it without y'all, because we're a part of this body. We're part of something bigger. We give to different areas. We have within that 10%, we've picked some ministries. One is very near and dear to my heart. There's people down in Guatemala. And so thank you. Thank you for your gifts to the church that doesn't just stay here to turn on lights, but actually goes to proclaim the gospel message. Because there are people lacking. There are people out there praying, God, I don't have this. And we get to be his hands and his feet. We get to be the one that goes and says, here it is. Because God has blessed me. God has shown his love to me, and I get now share it with you. One last kind of quick story. There's one of the very first Protestant missionaries down to South Africa. Went down there. And struggled, didn't have food, didn't have water, there was disease, and out of that company, the pastor plus five others died. And he wrote in his journal, and you could see his pain as his hand continued to get weaker and weaker, and he talked about his hunger, he talked about his sores, he talked about his thirst, and his hand kept getting harder. It looked harder and harder to write, but his last entry before he died, what a joy it is to serve the Lord. Why? Because he was filled not with himself, but he was filled with the cross. He was filled with the work of Jesus. And then he could go forth and live sacrificially for his brothers and sisters. And it is a great joy. I pray that when God taps you on the shoulder, maybe shows you a door, that you would answer that person's prayer, I have a need of. Maybe you're on the other side of the issue, not problem, and you are lacking. Pray, share, so that we or others can help fill that, because God wants us to be whole. Remember the early church. They shared, and they worshiped, they fellowshiped with one another, and God added to their numbers all the time. I pray that we would answer the call that God has called us to as we walk in this wonderful ways of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross. Love. No other way to define love than that. Sacrificial death of Jesus for us, so that the world could be forgiven, so that the world would not die eternally, but would have life with you for those who believe in you. Fill us with that great love. But don't let it just sit in us. Open our hearts so that we would live with great compassion. We would live with love for our neighbor, and where they are lacking, do everything we can to help them. Lord, bless us as we follow you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we got a